This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Lisa Labas in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Have you heard of the manosphere? Odds are, if you're not active on social media, you've probably never heard of it. So let me give you an idea. Some of the biggest names in the world of the manosphere include Andrew Tate, Jordan Peterson, podcasters Fresh and Fit, many more. And while many of these influencers present themselves as men's self-improvement experts, they've also been heard saying things like this.
The reason why no one tells women they're stupid is because they want to have sex with them. But most of you guys are stupid. I'm being very, very honest.
Any partner of mine who I'm also having sex with, my girlfriend, my wife, whoever it may be, she is my friend. There's no benefit from female friendship outside of the friendship I'm going to get from my partner.
These men, they don't know how to make themselves attractive to women who are very picky, and good for them. Women, like, be picky. That's your gift, man.
Life for a man is harder than life for a woman. We need to have a lot of shit to be an important man. To be a woman, you need makeup.
So we spoke with Chuka Nestor Emazua, assistant professor in the Department of Women, Children, and Family Nursing at Rush University. Also, Todd Adams, who is co-founder and executive director of Men Living, and Jermaine Lawrence Anderson, founder and executive director of I Am a Gentleman Incorporated, to get their views on the manosphere. We began with their reactions to that clip.
Yeah, it's amazing, right, to understand, you know, this new terminology, manosphere. It's just amazing how it's a whole separate world, a whole separate community that some are aware of that exists and others may not be aware that it exists. But it's amazing to see the power that the manosphere has on, you know, the current generation and even just men in general.
Yeah. Chuka, what about you? What were your initial thoughts?
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I work in this space. We work in this space, so we are very familiar with it. But like Jermaine said, I am often surprised when people do not understand that this is happening, including parents, unfortunately.
Sure.
And, you know, the space is not an abstract concept because it does have real-world consequences, and we can talk about what some of those look like, but not surprised. It's my everyday life.
Sure. Todd, how about you? What are your initial reactions?
Yeah, par for the course. I mean, I hear it all the time, and we're just trying to offset some of these very influential figures by the algorithms that these young men see. And just having an opportunity to talk about it in this platform helps a little bit, and we're just trying to expand what masculinity looks like. And there's these examples that you just played are examples I don't consider that masculinity at all. It's just overpowering.
Okay. Chuka, I want to let's go to the very basics. What is the manosphere? Can you give me a definition?
So it's a piecemealing of different concepts. But overall, the manosphere is a loose network of influencers, you know, social media platforms, blogs, forums, and chat rooms that are focused on anti-feminist messaging. And a lot of men typically congregate in those spaces online because this messaging resonates with them. But loosely put, the manosphere is a network. It's not a connected network. In some cases, very small fringe groups. In other cases, they're very popular group like involuntary celibates that we know of, and they do hang out on certain platforms.
Okay. Todd, tell me, what is a manfluencer?
Well, I mean, depends on through what lens you're looking at. These men that you just mentioned, Andrew Tate, Jordan Peterson, you know, Tate preys on insecurity and promising power instead of healing. Peterson offers order, responsibility, and the idea that men matter. So these young men get these messages and they get something out of it because they feel seen, they feel heard, they feel validated. What we're trying to do is bring a different version of what masculinity can look like. So it just depends on if we're talking about the healthy version or the unhealthy version.
Right. Jermaine, why do you think people Why does this resonate with these users?
You know, it resonates for a number of reasons. It's because, you know, we're living in a day and time of algorithms, as Todd just mentioned. We're living in a day and time of media. Media is at, you know, is worldwide. And we're living in a time where people want acceptance in various communities. And when we talk about the Manosphere, it is a community of thought. And anytime these influencers can infiltrate, you know, the way you think, your thought path, your brain, they've got you.
Well, yeah. And these young men feel seen. And in our society, they don't feel seen that often. So
correct.
These algorithms, these men are seeing them in a way that we're not.
How absolutely. Does this relate to the term toxic? I'm air quoting if you can hear me on the radio. Toxic masculinity.
It's such an interesting term because I've been taught by some of my mentors, Dr. Andrew Katz and some others, that using that term, there's a Gillette commercial a few years ago, and it really kind of highlighted the uglier version of masculinity, and the coin toxic masculinity kind of went viral. The problem with that term is that it automatically puts the other side on its defensiveness. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is expand what masculinity means instead of using that term toxic masculinity, because they automatically equate it to toxic manhood. And it's not toxic manhood. It's a pattern of belief statements and things like that that doesn't treat each other as equals. And instead, there's a power differential that we're just trying to get rid of.
Okay. All right. I want to go back to Jermaine quickly, and then I want to talk to Chuka in a second. What do you think about the Manosphere's definition of masculinity? How does this definition, differ from the definition outside that sphere?
Yeah, so I think it's a skewed perspective. So, mm-hmm. you know, these are influencers, right? And as Todd, again, just mentioned, it really promotes power dynamics between genders. And, you know, with the work that we do at our organization, which is called I Am a Gentleman, one of the things that we do is we teach the young men about self-respect, but mm-hmm. we also teach the young men what it means to respect women. And one of our principles is you don't talk down to a woman simply because you're a man. So when we talk about the Manosphere and the school of thought that, you know, those who are part of the Manosphere or those who are, you know, masculine or those who are of male gender are dominant simply because of their gender, it really creates a school of negative thought and a school of thought that really doesn't, you know, permeate across boundaries.
All right. Got it. So, Chuka, you wrote a recent op-ed, it was in the Tribune, and you wrote, "We live in an era in which perverse forms of masculinity are algorithmically promoted, politically exploited, and culturally rebranded." Can you tell us what you mean about that?
Well, the algorithm is very loud. And oftentimes, this messaging is not as overtly toxic as one would expect. It's often couched in, you know, self-care, wellness, mental health. But deep down, the message that is pushed, and, you know, there are some platforms that started out as self-care, general wellness, and have now become very contentious because that sells, that gets you more mm-hmm. eyes on social media. So in general, this messaging with technology has started to become a problem, having real impact on how young impressionable boys are forming their gender identity. And the signaling is not just on social media. It's also coming from media in general. The signaling from, you know, Silicon Valley, the signaling from politicians, you have to dress a particular militia way to come across as a real man. Those things, think about when we were teenagers, those things are really shaping the identity of boys, making them emotionally suppressed, making them closed up, making it hard for them to seek help. And like I said, there are real world consequences to this behavior.
And something struck me earlier, you said the algorithm is really loud. And so I'm getting the sense that the loudest thing, that's the loudest message is winning. And everyone's like, well, if that guy's loud, I'm going to be loud too. And that's how I'm going to reach my audience then.
In fact, a study that came out, and I'm going to approach this as a researcher, but a study that came out in 2024 found that a group of people who set up social media accounts on YouTube and TikTok focused on designed as boys, accounts for boys,
sure.
had a 67% higher likelihood of getting alpha male supremacist content.
Oh, gosh.
So if you don't go to the messaging comes to you.
Okay. And my producer, Meha, just said that she had read that when young men join social media, like TikTok and such, typically the first piece of masculinity content will show up in their feed in under a half hour. So that is saying a lot. All right. So let's talk a little bit about masculinity. Jermaine, let's start with you. What's your definition of what does it mean to you to be a man?
Yeah, so masculinity and to be a man is really a school of thought. Of course, we all know that, you know, it's gender-based, but it's also a school of thought. And again, with the work that we do, we interpret it as what is our role to society and how do we use that role to make society a better place?
Okay. Chuka, what does it mean to you to be a man?
There's no singular definition. I think it depends on you. And one thing we're trying to talk about is the fluidity. Let yourself be a man based on the ideals and the core values that you have. For me, it's defined very differently, and that involves my background. That involves how I was raised. We're having a conversation about millennial dads now who are raised by very patriarchal fathers and who are now having to raise children and give them something that they themselves didn't get as parents, and now they're struggling, really, to, you know, sort of break some of those harmful notions of masculinity.
Sure. And Todd, what do you feel?
Yeah, it's just a sense of wholeness. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's nothing wrong with being strong. As a man, I don't want to demonize masculinity. Strength is a good thing, but there's also some heart-centered, some emotional vulnerability. There's all these different emotions that we are, as young men, are not invited to experience, aside from anger. Anger is the only one that is nurtured. Mm. And then there's also fear and anger and sadness and joy. And we don't get an opportunity by our society to be able to step into those spaces. So for me, there's times when I just want to be strong and be focused. And then there's other times when I have three daughters to drop into my vulnerability. And that is also healthy masculinity.
Yeah, absolutely. Todd, I want to start with you again. What role have these manfluencers played in the lives of young men? I mean, do the young men watching these and, you know, kind of consuming this content, do they sort of lift up these people? Are they idols in some way?
Yeah, they are idols. And Andrew Tate and Jordan Peterson have a clarity of messaging. And they see these men in a way that they're not being seen by society. But it's also just a bunch of, in my experience, lies. That is not what manhood means to me. I'll tell you a quick story. I was outside my movie theater one time, and I saw two little boys holding hands walking down the street. They're about 5 or 6 years old. And I just realized, I got really kind of sad, and I was impacted by that, because I knew that the minute they get to school in first and second grade, that's not going to be okay for two boys to hold hands. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to expand what masculinity looks like.
Okay. Chuka, tell me a little bit about the manosphere and how does this interact with mental health?
Well, a lot of boys at that age, young boys, are impressionable and they're absorbing this content. And for some of them, it's anything from how they socialize with people, because they develop parasocial relationship with these influencers, and that influences how they interact with people. It influences their physical health. Some boys, biomaxing is a thing. Dependence on steroids is becoming a thing in gym cultures.
Oh.
Boys of 11, 12, 13-year-olds are taking mallets to their chin to square out their jawline to look like influencers online. So the harm is, you know, not just for now, but think about the long-term consequences of this impact. And then overall mental health, the signaling is you have to be strong. The signaling is you cannot ask for help. Those are real ways to be a man. And we're definitely coming out and countering those narratives.
Yeah. And you said 67% of young men won't get help. Was that the...
Well, for that study, 67% of them were getting that messaging pushed out towards them.
But when it
comes to help seeking for mental health, 37% of men compared to 64% of women likely to seek out help for mental health.
Sure. Okay. So now, Chuck, I want to ask you, some men say being in touch with your emotions, being vulnerable is feminine. Todd, you sort of touched on that too. And plus, telling their audience friendships with women is kind of pointless unless you're having sex with a woman. You know, one of the clips said, I don't need to be, you know, the only woman I need to be a friend with is my girlfriend or my wife or whatever. So it just sounds like they're self-isolating even more. Is that the bigger issue?
Well, for some groups, that is. Involuntary celibates are a more extreme group, and their focus is the backlashing against society for their non-success in romantic and sexual exchanges. So for that group, isolation is a thing. And men going their own way is also another isolationist group. but not overtly, you know, different factions, clearly different factions and networks online. But for some of them, isolation is the goal. For some of them is, you know, pushing ethics, pushing common sense as much as they can on online spaces.
I don't understand how isolationism can be remotely healthy. I just don't get it.
Well, it does seem like an option. There's no vacuum. If somebody is not pushing positive masculinity ideologies and ideals and showing these young men how to, there is no vacuum online. Something else is going to fill up that space. And in this case, unfortunately for many of our young men, is this harmful manospheric content. I don't know if that's a word.
But is this, it is now.
It's that content that they see constantly. And they hang out on their phones for the better part of their day.
Yeah.
So imagine reliably and consistently getting this kind of harmful messages and what it can do to young boys.
And loudly, as you've said. So, Jermaine, what does this demand for these manfluencers tell you? Like, why are people seeking them out?
Yeah, one of my colleagues said earlier, because, you know, people want to be seen, right? When you have lived in neighborhoods and a part of family structures where you have been oppressed, where you feel like you're not seen, anything that comes your way that, you know, gives you attention, you're going to feed it because, you know, that person or that community is validating me and is allowing me to be seen. And, you know, the other thing that is a little bit troubling as well is that when we talk about masculinity, oftentimes we talk about it through the lens of having to live up to someone else's expectation.
Mm-hmm.
So the expectation that society, you know, is putting in front of me, the expectation that family is putting up to me versus the expectation that I have for myself about my own thought about what it means to be masculine or what it means to be a male or even a man.
Right. And now social media is really it's a currency, you know.
Absolutely.
It's definitely what is kids aren't watching TV. They're spending so much time on their phones and on, you know, Instagram and TikTok and everything. So okay, all right, great. So let's ask all of you, like, what effect does disguising these male messages as self-improvement have on these young viewers? I know, Chucky, you mentioned it a little bit. Can you add to that?
Well, it's that sense of belonging that everybody, you know, adult, child, is looking for. At that age, it's heightened. We really, you know, I laughed like my dad. I tried to walk like my dad as a teenager. Parents also have a role to play in this in terms of how we're modeling, you know, some of this gender dynamics for our kids. But overall, I think right now the messaging that these young men are getting is becoming more and more problematic, because couching it in self-care is better than if I came out to say exclusively, explicitly what I'm trying to say. And keep in mind that some of these influencers haven't figured themselves out.
Right.
You know, some of them started out, again, very benign content. And over time, it became clear that once they push more controversial points and topics, that's when, you know, they get more clicks. So overall, I'm very, very, very much concerned. And I think at some point, we should also talk about some positive platforms that do exist. You know, I can give some examples. And again, this appeals to me. This is what the algorithm pushes to me as a man in my late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But people like Scotty K. Fitness, A Call to Men, we talked about that program, is another wonderful program. Joey Fu is a stay-at-home dad that shows that caregiving is also manly. Mr. Jason Wilson, he uses a lot of taekwondo, judo to sort of pass his messaging across. These are some really good sites. But again, they will appeal to a millennial. I don't know that they're appealing to younger boys.
Sure. Todd, what about, you know, this self-care sort of message, or it's couched in self-care, but not really? Like, are there certain keywords or phrases that often get tossed around in the manosphere?
I just feel like it's a bait and switch, because they're promising them some personal growth. Like Jordan Peterson's like, get out of bed and, you know, start your day and start becoming empowered. And there's a vacuum because nobody else is really stepping into that space to fill that void. And that's what the three of us are trying to do. But it's not that sexy. Like, we're trying to be whole human beings, and we want to say emotional vulnerability is a strength and not a weakness. But these guys are growing up in a man box, which is a really restrictive version of masculinity. And we just need to counteract that and try to sell, like, if you want to be a good human being serving our community, you need to have access to all these different types of emotions. And through these lens of Jordan Peterson and Andrew Tate, it's just one. It's power and it's anger. It's power and it's anger. And we need to get better at speaking to the pain of these young men, because that's what these guys do really well, is they speak to their pain. And we need to start doing that so they can start listening to us, because it's just not as sexy algorithmic to say, you know, be a good human being.
Well, how do you do that then? How do you speak to someone's pain when they're, you know, just basically on a little screen? Well, how do you do that?
It's, I mean, we got to see them, and we got to, you know, what these guys do is they numb out. They numb out to weed, they numb out to porn, they numb out to booze, and all they're doing is bypassing a part of being a human being, which is feel your feelings. And we need to first see them. You know, I remember for the presidential election last year, they had a bunch of people on the Democratic National website, and the only group that they didn't mention were young men. And that is an example of how we need to start including them in the conversation, because they feel like they're getting left behind.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Jermaine, what about you? What are you hearing people say? That it's really self-improvement. It's not toxic or, you know, masculinity.
Yeah. So there is a space for self-improvement, right? But, you know, piggybacking off of what Todd said, these young men, not only do they want to be seen, but I also think we have to create space that validates who they are. Mm-hmm. That lets them know that your circumstances are real, your pain points are real, but here's a community where you can be a part of, that we can uplift who you are, but we can also help you grow. We were talking about in the green room before the segment started about some resources and programs, and I'm glad that Chuka gave some examples. But, you know, even like with Men Living, it's a safe space where men can come and share pain and pressure points. At I Am a Gentleman, it's a space where young men and preteen boys can come and share their pressure points, but also be validated in the process to say, we see you, we hear you, and more importantly, you matter.
So how many young men and boys meet with you on a regular basis?
Every Saturday morning, at least 65.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Are they all from the same general neighborhood or...?
No, they are from our current class is from 17 different Chicagoland neighborhoods and 14 Chicagoland suburbs. And they travel across the entire city, again, because of the space that we've created that is judgment-free, but a space where they know they're going to encounter some adult male mentors and life coaches, and even some, you know, females that are part of our team, but really that say, we see you, we hear you, and you matter in this space and in society.
Okay. Chuka, I want to ask you about the manosphere. Do you think this is kind of an attempt to move backwards a little bit? You know, what some people might refer as traditional values. I mean, I've seen a lot of like trad wife content online too, which kind of personally puts me off. But you know, that's just me and my preferences. What do you think?
I think it's a gender reckoning. I think more recently we've gone through several gender reckonings as a society. More recently, the Me Too movement.
Sure.
Before that, Anita Hill's testimony that brought shed light on sexual harassment in the workplace, and then all the way back to women's suffrage. This is an inflection point in general. I sort of think about this thing as masculinity performed online. You know, some people call it digital masculinity, but it's a backlash. Paradoxically, we also have with females, the trad wife movement is becoming a thing. The clean girl aesthetic is becoming a thing.
Yeah.
And it's a return to ultra feminine, submissive models of womanhood. Some would argue that's empowerment for women to self-define how they want to be addressed. But again, it's sort of mirroring that patriarchal, you know, return to harmful masculinity norms that we see online.
Got it. So, Todd, how do you intervene if you actually see men in your life start moving in this manosphere-y direction?
Just try to get in front of them, tell them that there's spaces that the three of us are trying to do. Men Living has meetings every single day virtually for men all over the country. It's free, and we just try to get ourselves in front of them. But one thing I wanted to say that, Chuka, because you brought in women, I think it's an important point. We're asking these men to adapt to a different society. You know, back in the early 70s, there's more men that went to college. Now there's more women that go to college. My thing is, as a father of three daughters, our female counterparts have had to adapt forever. And now it's our turn to adapt. And for some reason, we're having a hard time adapting. And I just want to like honor the fact that everybody has had to need to adapt. And we're just as men, we're having a harder time adapting to what it means to be a man. And it's our turn to step up in a way that our female counterparts have always had to step up regarding keeping themselves safe, regarding professional, regarding family values. So that's my hope that that's an important piece of the conversation.
Okay. And Jermaine, I'm going to give you the last word here. You've seen the real life impact of young men having meaningful relationships with other men. Briefly, tell me what that looks like.
Yeah, meaningful relationships, meaning that you can enter this relationship feeling like it's a relationship that is not going to judge you, a relationship that has boundaries, but is also allows you to be the most authentic version of yourself. And I think, you know, that's the space that we're all trying to create. So, you know, we were laughing in the green room. Todd said, well, Jermaine, you're the best dressed of you're the best dressed in the group today. Well, it's like, I'm not trying to be the best dressed, but this is the most authentic version of myself, right?
Yeah.
You know, Todd showed up the most authentic version of himself, and I must validate that even if that doesn't look like me.
Jermaine's got a coat and tie on. I have shorts and a t-shirt.
I will say, he looks pretty good.
And that's the beauty of life, yeah. When you can show up the best version of your individual self, not feel judged, but also feel validated, even if that looks totally different than someone else.
All right. I hate to say it, but we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Jermaine Lawrence Anderson, founder and executive director of I Am a Gentleman Incorporated. Also Todd Adams, co-founder and executive director of Men Living. And Chuka Emazua, assistant professor in the Department of Women, Children, and Family Nursing at Rush University. Thank you so much for having this conversation today.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by William Balk and Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmad and mixed by Ari Mejia. To never miss a conversation, make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you can listen, or you can find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Lisa Labas in for Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for tuning in.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.